하리지
사하나 바바투 사하나 문하투 사하비얀 카라바바하이 대자스리 나바디 타마스터마 베데베샤바하이 Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhatta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 2. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Vishaya. In the section beginning Brahma Vid Apnoti Param and Sava Esha Purusho Shona Rasa Mayaha, there are sequential descriptions of anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, and vijnanamoy stages of existence. Footnote 1. Srila Prabhupada summarizes these five different departments of existence within the body as follows. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5, Brahma Pucham Pratishta, there is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy known as anamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is a materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then, in pranamoy, after realizing the Supreme Absolute Truth in food, one can realize the Absolute Truth in the living symptoms or life forms. In jnanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, and willing. Then there is Brahman realization, called vijnanamaya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage is Anandamaya, realization of the all-blissful nature. Thus, there are five stages of Brahman realization, which are called Brahma-puccham. Out of these, the first three, Anamoy, Pranamoy, and Vijnanamoy, involve the fields of activities of the living entities. Transcendental to all these fields of activities is the Supreme Lord, who is called Anandamaya. The Vedanta Sutra also describes the Supreme by saying Anandamayo Bhyasata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature full of joy. To enjoy his transcendental bliss, he expands into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, and Anamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and different from him is the Anandamaya. That means that if the living entity decides to enjoy and dovetail himself with the Anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. One has to search for the truth, for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra, Bhagavad Gita 13.5 purport. Let's just go on. Then these five koshas are these as Brahma Pucham. Now, this is in connection with understanding the Absolute Truth. So you see how everybody's eating in this way, they're maintained. So that potency of maintenance and all that, that's the Supreme Lord. Right? Then it goes into the next, what, as he do the things. Okay. Okay, living symptoms of life forms. You see, everybody's alive, everybody has feelings, everybody has all these different aspects, so then you can realize the Lord in that part, right? Because the point is the Lord is, means he is himself, and then there's all his different aspects that are there. So within himself, then you have the Bhagavan, you have Paramatma, you have Brahman. But then also through his energies, then he is also through his material energy, he manifests as the material phenomena. Marginal potency, he manifests as the jivas. Does that make sense? So, in other words, you're trying to see how everything is him. Right. So then, in this case, then, how in the living symptoms of life, you know, prana, how everything's alive, everything has feelings, everything interacts and all that. Why is that? Because it's part and parcel of Krishna. Right? Then the next, there's thinking, feeling, and willing. How that's working. What's the technicality of that? So, how, means what is the proper way of thinking? What's the proper way of feeling? What's the proper way of willing? Right? What is the actual knowledge of the situation that you're thinking about? Right? Is it based on scripture or is it speculative? Then the feeling, is it based on what it is, things that you should be doing and all that? And then willing is then also the proper goals within that context. Does that make sense? Then you have then understanding the difference between the soul and matter. Then we get to Anandamaya, or the Supreme Lord Himself. Right? Does that make sense? So we're seeing Him. You could say these, first two stages are kind of like Brahman. It's Brahman, basically. Brahman and extended Brahman. Then you're getting into Paramatma and the extension of that. Then you're getting into Bhagavan. Right? So Anandamaya will be Bhagavan. The first two would be Brahman, the second two would be Paramatma. But specifically, the first one would be Brahman, third one would be Paramatma, the fifth one would be Bhagavan. But then the second is kind of in between, the two. But it's the first, just extended. Right? And then the fourth one is the third that's extended. Right? It's proper thinking where you actually understand the difference between matter and spirit. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So, yes. So the living entities, they go through these stages, though they may not be seeing the Lord in it. So the difference is Brahma-Pucham, you're trying to see the same states of consciousness, but in connection with the Supreme. Right? Because otherwise, Anamoya means you see that the child is only interested in food, right? Everything goes in the mouth. You're testing, is it food or not? Right? So that's there. Then Pranamoya, you start to see other living entities. You start to notice who's around you in the family and stuff. So it's not just about the food, but then they're there. You have feelings, why are they sad? Oh, why are they happy? Why, everything like that. Does that make sense? So then that's the second. Third is then you actually understand the position of Dharma. Right? It means other living entities, what's your relationship with them, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. Right, then after that, then you get into understanding Brahman. That's the focus. And then the fifth is Anandamaya, relationship with the Lord. So the first one is just about sense gratification. So then your general living entities, your scientists, your animals, they're all on this same level. Interesting to note, though, the scientists and intellectuals consider themselves superior. They're in the same class as animals and the common person. Because they just very intellectually engage in gross sense gratification like animals. If they can't see it, it doesn't exist. That's the way it is with animals. Though animals put a little bit more emphasis on if they can't smell it, it doesn't exist. Right? They hear something and they smell, and if there's no smell, then nothing's there. Right? Yes.
When we say about scientists, we mean Maya Prayita Gyanis?
We mean anybody who thinks that only through the senses, then that's the authority. So yes, Maya Prayita Gyanis. Okay. Yes. So, does this make some sense? So because this is the levels of consciousness, then it has so many aspects to it. Does that make sense? Those who are the Shaktas and all that, and then they're generally down on that lower level. Then the Ganapatyas and the Suryas, then they're on that second level because they see life. The Suryas, it's just life in general. The Ganapatyas, it's a specific group of life forms that you're interested in. Does that make sense? You know, then if they're seeing Vishnu in the mode of goodness, then, you know, Dharma and doing everything right like that, then generally those with the Shiva, then they see the aspect of Brahman and all that. That's why you always see that he's most Mayavadis, and that somehow or another Shiva's always their deity. Right. Does that make sense? So then this way, then that Vedic Panchopasana, the different levels, they also match with the consciousness. You know, like that. You know, your how you say, kama is anamoya, just the sense gratification. Artha is pranamoya. Dharma is anandamaya. And moksha is vijnanamaya. Right? And bhakti is anandamaya. Right? So then, the first level means they're basically not civilized. Right? They're just interested in themselves, not civilized. And amongst these who are not civilized, some of them may be a little sophisticated and consider themselves intelligent and scientific. Does that make sense? Because if you've ever dealt with scientists, you'll understand that that's, you know, how you say, hitting the nail on the head. Very, very gross people. Like that. Because they can't see past their senses. So it naturally makes them very gross. They're intelligent about it and all that, and so they have their own kind of culture. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur separates it. Within Anamoya, you'll have these two levels. The guy who's like the mudha, who doesn't really see anything, and then the Mayaya Pratijnana, who then you know, considers himself sophisticated. Then when you go into Pranamoya, then you get those who see to the greater good, right? To the general mass and everything. That's what he's saying, life symptoms. You notice life symptoms. So therefore, you want to see what are the life symptoms with others. So if we cooperate together, then we can get more sense gratification, right? Because if everybody tries to do things themselves, how much can one person do? Right? Someone will be good at this, someone at that. But if we pool our resources, then science, arts, you know, technology, economics, all these things will increase as a group, so then everybody gets more sense gratification. Right? Does that make sense? So this is where you'll get your elements of, how you say, economic development, ethics, morality, justice, all these things come up here is because it's necessary for Artha. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that if you work together, then you can increase the economic position. So it's a political position for economics. So therefore, all this thing, everybody's equal, everybody does everything, it's all for everybody, you know, this kind of thing. This is all political, economic platform. Though, because individuals aren't trained in this Brahmapucham, they can't distinguish. But you see here, this is right in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's already introducing this. Right? So it's the fundament is already there. And then in Bhagavatam it'll be further explained. So the point is this is the levels of consciousness. And if you can't distinguish, then what's the point? Because what we've discussed up to now is atheistic. Because it's not dependent upon God. It's my senses. Or we cooperate together to get something, some benefit, all together. Does that make sense? So it's not theistic at this point. Right? It's not that, oh, on the side, okay, there's not some feeling towards God, but what you're doing doesn't connect with it. Right? So you'll generally see in this kind of group, then it's generally more the Lord is deified, right? He's there, he's God, he's the guy he created, he this and that, but we run the show. So what we decide is, so this is this, the Pranamoya is your seat of Vox Populi, you know, like that, Vox Dei. This is where it is. Because when it comes down to, Shastra says this, no, but, you know, what about everybody, what is that? Is that about what God says? No, that's about what we say, that's what God says. So you can understand it's an atheistic position. That's why it doesn't mix with devotional service at all. People try to mix it, but they're not good alchemists, so it just makes a mess. like that. And the worst part is they don't even know what they're doing. Right? They don't even know that they're mixing it. It just sounds good. So that's the idea. Anything above gross sense gratification is automatically must be spiritual. Because in your non-Vedic schools, that is the way it is. Modern religions don't get past pranamoy. That's as good as it gets. So therefore, when you just take it a little bit more idealistic, it's called spiritual. And when you make it a little bit more just practical, then okay, yes, now we're just being, you know, we're moving ahead, we're progressing. You understand? Because pranamoy also has two levels within it. Those who are just getting together and those who have more of an idealistic kind of concept. Take the idealistic concept too far, then you just sacrifice everything for the greater good, then who's getting any benefit? And the lower end is I'm taking part in this just to get something out of it for myself. Right? So you get two levels here. Right? You understand? So two levels in anamoy, two levels in pranamoy. Then in manamoy, that's where you start theism. Because thinking, feeling, and willing is based on what? On Shastra. So basically speaking, Varnashram is this, where you're properly situated. There'll be those who accept that there's a supreme and something like that, but they're not actually properly situated. So you'll see within those, on basically in the pranamoy category, when it comes to the supreme and other things like this, they have a theistic view. But they're not actually properly situated here, because until one accepts Varnashram, that this is how you decide how to think, how to feel, how to will, then you haven't actually come to the proper platform. So in other words, there's those who are just touching on that point. We'll categorize them there. In other words, if someone identifies themselves as a religious person with belief in God, we'll say they're in this third category. Right? But their knowledge about the Supreme is very meager. So it's just on the beginning stage. But we'll classify them there. But in reality, Ramanujacharya mentions manamoy only actually starts when there's Varnashram. So that's why Prabhupada says Varnashram is the beginning of human life. So we can understand below this is animal life. Because, say what you like, you know, your various living entities in the animal kingdom, they have very nicely organized societies. Right? You know, elephants, they all get together. They very much take care. If there's a baby in the herd, it's everybody's baby. Everybody takes care. It's not that, okay, it's the mother's business like you see in other herds. They all take care. Like when they move, the babies are all in the middle. So the lions can't get in. They'll walk right next to the elephants. But they can't, you know, all so many legs, they can't get through, because if they try, they get stepped on. So, you know, so they're organized there, you know, or termites. You know, there's millions of them, right? They don't have a problem with overpopulation, right? You know, or bees, right? That little pile of bees there could be 10,000 or more bees all in there. 100,000, depends on how big it is. All perfectly working, all things like that. Everybody has their duties. You know, you have the worker bees, the this bee, the that bee. Everybody has their duties. This is, you know, already an organized social system. Even better than most human societies have. Right? At least they accept authority, right? That they gotta, you know, the boss is there, right? Right? And so then that works very nicely. Right? But it's still animal. That's why I say the first two levels are animal. So you have gross animals and polished animals. That's what Prabhupada says. Modern society is polished animals. Because that's all it is. It's because pranamoy is only for sense gratification. Why have the money? Why work together unless there's sense gratification? Right? Does that make sense? You know, you go to the Louvre, the guy's standing in front of the painting. What's he doing? He's trying to get something from it, the feeling of it. You know, so how they put it out there, how they light it, how they frame it, how they make the situation, is so people can get something sensual out of it. But why do they have it? Because they've worked together as a group to do that. It didn't just happen. You know, there wasn't just some graffiti guy and he just saw a wall and then Mona Lisa came out on the wall there, right? And then, you know, it was seen as a great thing, so then the city very carefully went and cut those bricks out of the wall and then that's, you know, like that. No. You know, so everybody's working together for sense gratification, right? That was painted. Why was it painted? Because he had a sponsor, he had a patron. Why is there a patron? Because then if you do that, then you have arts, it makes life much nicer, right? You yourself enjoy the painting on the wall, but even more you enjoy when your other friends come over and they see you got a better painting on your wall than they do. That's like, you don't get a better taste than that, right? You know, so that's that. That's pranamoy, right? Sense gratification is there, but what's more is the perception of what is the possibilities of sense gratification, right? The guy drives up, you know, to the place, you know, hands the keys over to the valet and walks into the you know, the hotel or wherever it is like that. So everyone looks at the car and they think, wow, he must really be enjoying. What they didn't catch is the guy had to go around actually five times longer to get to that place because he had to go around places where the road was smooth and there were no bumps. And he couldn't go at regular speed because if he does, he might bump into someone else, scratch the car, this, that. In other words, it was a nightmare getting from his place there. So his taste is when he drives up and then gets out of the car, right? And then people see, oh, wow. You understand? So it's potential sense gratification, which is the real thing. Because sense gratification is enjoyed on one's own. Right? Because that one can say, oh, one's on that platform, but the point of that platform is you can do whatever you like, even if it's not in line with what's being professed, as long as no one knows about it. Right? Does that make sense? What you do in your own home, nobody cares as long as they don't find out. They find out, you're in trouble. So it's not actually about dharma, what you should do. It's about what you want to do. Therefore, the modern things, oh, but they want to do it. It's always about, but they really want to do it. Isn't that devotional? The dog wants to eat the offering before the offering. Isn't that devotional? He really wants it. He's really attracted, you know, according to this, he's really attracted to the Lord in the form of food. Therefore, the guy's on the Brahman platform. You understand? So this is the problem. So then when it gets to their dharma, you accept varnashram, then you're properly situated as a human. Right? That's why Prabhupada says human form of life. Because it's not necessarily people actually take advantage and use it and become human. Right? Because the human form is there, but then what you do with it, then you say, okay, this is now human. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. And then vijnanamaya, then that's where then you can tell the difference between matter and spirit. The other one, of course, you know, because otherwise how do you follow varnashram unless you understand you're not the body? But it's about the karma aspect that you're doing. So you have knowledge, but knowledge is supporting karma. Right? Then when you get to vijnanamaya, then karma is supporting knowledge. Does that make sense? And then when you get to anandamaya, then all the other four are just supporting bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on here. So from Vedanta Sutra, we're not looking at it from the point of karma, those who aren't interested in transcendental subject matter. We're looking at it from those who are. Therefore, they'll understand their existence, and that's based on food and all that, nourishment. And so in this way, all the nourishment that comes to you from the universe, that's the Lord. Right? You understand? Then you see is other people are also in that same position. They're also being nourished by the Lord. Right? Therefore, they, you know, all the things that they experience and all that is also there. So we have to be more considerate. Then you come to the platform of what is the proper way of thinking, feeling, and willing. How to think, how to feel, how to will. Rather than if it just happens, that's anamoy pranamoy. When it's scientific, that becomes manamoy. Right? Then we're seeing that, then we bring in the aspect of that, you know, it's about the transcendence, about the soul, not about the body. So we follow the points of Dharma, but we follow them in connection with them, not the body. That's why we can do it so more easily. Does that make sense? So someone on Vijnanamoya, it's actually easier to follow Dharma than someone on the platform of Dharma. Because Dharma, it has to be, there's a motive to do it. Right? But on Vijnanamoya, then no, we're the soul. The body's identification is this. My body's identification is that of a Brahman or a Grihastha or a Brahmachari. So therefore, the body should be engaged in those activities. Right? Soul has to do something. Well, the other is, no, I have these desires I want from it, but I'm in line with Shastra, so it's pious. So it'll be a little harder. And then if you drop down to Pranamoya, it's impossible. That's why people, you know, just why do we need Varnashram, this, that, blah, unlimited ideas, reasons why we can't follow anything Vedic, but we must do, you know, whatever is my conditioning. And because of Anamoy, then it's my conditioning is the supreme universal conditioning. Everyone should follow that. If there's Pranamoy, then you kind of think, well, they have their own nature. They will act according to that. So then at least you can appreciate, a wide variety of world ethnicity. So if you can't appreciate world ethnicity, you're on the platform of Anamoy. Simple. That's the nice thing about the Vedas. It's scientific, so it's very clear. It's not about, no, but I feel like I'm on a higher platform. It says, no, you're just a sophisticated Anamoyas. That's all. Right? We are this body, so therefore, then, you know, we should do these things or that things. So that's just Anamoy. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, can you say that formal education or Gurukul education should start on Manomoy platform?
Means you're dealing with all of them, but yes, Manomoy is you have your duties and all that. That's what then the point of the ashram. Because in the educational system, the first thing to be gained is ashram. So you understand what you're supposed to do and everything like that. Then from that, then you get into knowledge. Then into the training on what you're doing like that. So first, you fit into just regulating yourself that you follow the program and you do everything. Then the next will be the, how do you say, that you learn why you're doing it. And you learn all the varieties of knowledge that the Vedas contain. Then the third stage is now having learned the general knowledge, now you specialize according to your own nature. Like that. And something, you know, practical. Like that. And then the fourth stage is then having, you know, learned that, now you understand the lifestyle, you understand the knowledge, you understand the specialized knowledge, then you focus on arts. Like that. So it's not that all these things aren't being learned at once, it's just what's the main emphasis. Right? So in the beginning it'll be just be trying to adjust with the scene, the second will be the academics, the older than that, then there's specializations, and then after that then they can get into the finer into the arts. Because if you start with arts, then you have an art brain, which is the problem. If you start with science, then you have a science brain, and then you add art to that to refine it. But once you have an art brain, art brains don't need science. Because art brain is just about feeling and experiencing and like that. So if you learn the science first, then you have a logical brain. Then you add the art, it refines the brain. That's called a gentleman. Right? It means in society, you'll say that this person is a gentleman. And he may know refined things, he may not listen to that, whatever, but he knows that. Someone else who you will say, he's an artist. You know, he's a good artist and that. You don't call him a gentleman. He's an artist. Because it's a different brain. Gentleman means it's scientific that's been refined. An artist means, you know, he started with that. And if he's not good at art, then he's a nice guy. You know, of course the world needs nice guys, but hey. So it's very important because how you do things makes a difference. You know, anything you do, you're cooking, you do something one way or the other, there's a difference. You just anything, you change anything, and it's what you do first and then second, it gives a different result. So you can say, what does it matter? But it does matter. So that's why in the Vedas, they're very careful about that.
Nice guys finish last.
Yes, that's all right. That's the point, the nice guys. Well, that's why you need nice guys, so you can be first. Right? Now, otherwise, how do you get ahead?
Without the science, they'll always end up last.
Yes, they'll always end up last. Yeah, but you're just hoping that the guys who do know the science have learned the art also so that they're a little more refined. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah? Yes.
Maharaj, is this why when you talk sometimes to these classical musicians, they feel very sophisticated, very refined people? They're not like regular students.
No, the classical guys, because they've studied the science. Because the point is in the Vedic arts, generally you have to study the science first. So they're sitting there and playing by rote for years and years and years before they get to the thing. So this idea is that, you know, the modern kind of thing is, oh, but learning by rote is not good. But learning by rote means you know it. Then you teach them the art. So the problem is those who know the science don't know the art. Those who know the art don't know the science. So therefore you get all these different approaches to education, and it's always a problem. Right? There's no, modern education can't be complete because they don't deal with it in the proper way. But the point is you learn something very, very technically, then from there you can go into the spontaneity. But that basically that spontaneity comes by association. You know, unless there's so much karma left from previous life that you've gained it so much that comes through, then you might find the individual just naturally comes to that platform. But the point is that spontaneity is based on what? Just anything? If it's just anything, how do you identify it? Spontaneity means that it's a very new and fresh way of dealing with the standard. It's not out of the standard.
You know. So this Vaidhi and Raga Nuga Bhakti
is
the eternal principle.
That's the point, yes. Vaidhi and Raga is the eternal principle. And if one understands that, well, one knows what it is. It's generally thought that spontaneous devotional service means whimsical. But that's only because, you know, of art brains. You know, it's a matter of, no, it's that science that starts from that, then goes into the other. It's just the way it has to work. That's why Prabhupada, that's the main reason, you could say is, or a main reason why Prabhupada wasn't impressed with the Montessori system. He mentions it. They do really well. Kids like it. They learn very nicely and everything. So one could say is, no, but it's such a good system. Why wouldn't Prabhupada like it? Because they start with art. It's all about art, all about imagination in that. So the children they produce, really intelligent, you know, really, imaginative. But when it comes to like feet on the ground, they don't have it, and it's not because they're demigods. But generally, they're nice, so that's not because they're paisachas either. But it's just they can't do things practical. So unless they at some point come in contact with something more scientific, then they'll be these really smart, spaced out people. You know, occupationally they may be able to do stuff, but socially they can't. They can't function. Is that, you understand? So that's the problem, is that they go into it, that no, this is the system. Says, yes, that's the system, you know, the point when the kids are small, but the point is there must be why. You know, there has to be beyond. Because the children, when they like hit three, they start asking why. That means they want to know the science. But if all we give them is the art, then what's the point? Yes.
All you give them is the art, then you have lousy art.
That also.
Because, like that. You know, I can improvise on the piano.
Right.
And when you hear like one of these great musicians who can just go off and improvise.
Right.
That's the result. You know, you have to learn the jazz voicings for all the chords.
And right,
you have
right.
To learn, you know, it's a result right. Of an intense process.
Yes.
Of intense study. Of scales and voicings and, you know,
yes,
and
yes.
Music theory.
Yes, yes, no,
and
theory.
And if you just try to...
Do it.
try to do it, you can't do it. It comes after intense study.
Yeah, you could get a good rump note, but
get a what?
Get a good rump note.
Rump note.
I know a rump note. Maybe it's an American thing. You have the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, normally you face the keyboard, you turn around and see it on the keyboard.
Oh.
That's a rump note. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It means the classical musicians, it's that in South, if you don't practice 6 hours, they tell you, you want to become professional, 6 hours a day you practice. What are you practicing? You're just doing what he was saying. Going through exactly this, trying different things like that. They say that you have a raga, you get a raga, and you can play the raga. The normal thing is you learn it, and once you learn to play it, you want to move on to the next one. They say, no, play that raga exclusively for 6 months only. Then you'll see what comes out of it. Then you know the raga. And that's like a basic. I think it was Annapurna. She's, was Ravi Shankar's first wife. Aluddin Khan's daughter. So she was the best of, we think Ravi Shankar was good. He knew about 25% of what the teacher taught. She knew 60. That was the problem. She was a better musician than him. So, but that doesn't look good. You know, so she'll stay on one raga for like 4 years. She's teaching it. So basically, anybody who's learned from her, they only learn one raga. But once you learn one, then you understand how to go into it.
The greatest saroj player in India, he was chained to a tree by his father.
Oh, okay.
And he, the only thing that was left within he could get to was a saroj. His father would show him one thing, and he was. He was actually chained to a tree.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because in North they want to do 8 to 10 hours a day. Some will do 12.
Yeah.
But in South, you know, they're more realistic, so they stick to 6 hours because they know you have a life other than that.
Yeah.
You know,
like that, so. And he became the greatest saroj player in India, and he said he hated it.
Yeah.
The way his father treated
him. Yeah, that's fair. That sounds like it's North Indian.
Yeah.
So then the problem is it has that Mughal influence, so it doesn't have the pleasantness. Like what I was saying, the others, the South,
yeah.
So it has the Brahminical culture. So you have the certain times you practice, but other than that, you know, you do your puja and stuff first, then you do your music.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, so they have a different approach. Like that. Okay, so we're clear on these levels of consciousness, all the different aspects it has. So you can look at it socially, you can look at it, all the different dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these different kinds of viewpoints. But here we're looking at it from anandamaya, meaning that ananda means transcendence, right? So the lowest level of transcendence is Brahman. The highest level is Bhagavan. So we're looking at these levels of consciousness from the platform of Brahman. That's what that Vedanta Sutra is doing. So how to become self-realized through understanding the nature of food, the nature of life, the nature of thinking and all that. That's why it's called Manamoy. Then the nature of jnana, the knowledge of the soul. Right? So it's just a matter of which aspect of Krishna you're looking at. So that's why in any level of consciousness you can be fully God conscious. It doesn't matter. Right? Does that make sense? Because you can see like that. So if you do that, then it works really nice. The Mayavadi philosophers consider Anandamaya to be the state of being merged in the Supreme. To them, Anandamaya means that the Supersoul and the individual soul become one. But the real fact is that oneness does not mean merging into the Supreme and losing one's own individual existence. Merging into the spiritual existence is the living entity's realization of qualitative oneness with the Supreme Lord in its aspects of eternity and knowledge. But the actual Anandamaya, blissful stage, is attained when one is engaged in devotional service. Right? So this makes the distinction between the impersonalist concept of Anandamaya and our concept. Because generally speaking, as a process, they're on the platform of Vijnanamaya, because they don't actually understand the Supreme Lord. But if they're realized in that they're actually on the Brahman platform, then we will categorize them in Anandamaya. But the beginning stage, the lower stage, they're just in the spiritual existence of Anandamaya. So therefore the sat and the chit aspects, right? They understand eternity, they have knowledge. They don't get to Ananda. So Ananda comes when you deal with the personality of Godhead in devotional service. So that's the actual Anandamaya. So what they call Anandamaya is the happiness of not being in the material world. But what we're talking about is Anandamaya means the happiness of being in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So there's a difference of not being in the material and being in the spiritual. Does that make sense? Yeah? But the actual, okay. Here, Lord Krishna states that the Brahma-Bhuta Anandamaya stage is complete only when there's an exchange of love between the supreme and the subordinate living entities. Krishna Book, Chapter 87. Oh, okay. Who's he talking to here? You know? 87, that's quite a ways along in Dwarka Lila. Okay. Is that okay? We're clear on this? Yeah? Okay. Then this passage occurs. Higher than the Vijnanamaya Purusha is the Anandamaya Purusha. This Purusha is filled with bliss. The Anandamaya existence is a person. Like the former, this has the shape of a human. His head is pleasure, Priya. His right side is joy, Moda. And his left side is delight, Pramoda. And his Atma is bliss, Ananda. Brahman is situated as the basis, Brahmapucham Pratishtam. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5. So here he's giving the form of the Lord. That's why the head is pleasure, Priya. That's why they always talk about his face and his smiling and his eyes and everything like that. Okay, footnote 2. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this stage in his commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.17. From prayers of the Vedas personified, okay? That's. In other words, I was wondering, why, how would they get into this? Lord Vishnu said, then what form of mind should they worship, right? Because in other words, you have all these five forms, right? As we said, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So by not dealing with Bhagavan, you get up to Anandamaya, but you're still actually only dealing with the stages of extended of Brahman and Paramatma. You understand? So, what form should they worship? Shrutis, he whose form resembles that of a man, Purusha, therefore you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are also the Supersoul in all living beings, and the great form of bliss called Brahman. But in relation to the Anandamaya, gross body, Pranamaya, life air, Manamaya, mind, Vijnanamaya, jiva, and Anandamaya, Paramatma, described in the Brahmandavali of the Taittiriya Upanishad as Vastipucha, Prithvipucha, Artavangirapucha, Mahapucha, and Brahmapucha, or the five Purushas. You are the ultimate person, Purusha, the Anandamaya Brahmapucha. Right? So these are all the levels of the Lord, that he has all these forms. Right? So here, is that the first is gross body? Because why does the gross body work? It's dead matter, but why is it working? Because the Lord empowers it. 33 million demigods manage that your body works. Right? So this is not a small thing. So you don't have to worry. There's not going to be any cyborgs. Right? You need 33 million, you know, guys organizing it to get one to work. Yeah, and that's one. And then Krishna has unlimited. So he's a better organizer. But so the body is that why it's working, how it functions, how life is there, how it's nourished, how one living entity is food for another, how everything is working and all that. So that's Anamaya, right? So therefore the level of understanding how dust pervades everything, that is the level of Anamaya. Yes? Right? Does that make sense? You know, from dust thou art, dust thou shalt become. you know, all this kind of thing. It's anamoya. But you're, it gives that religious feeling, that higher feeling. Why? Because they're understanding the Lord. Because otherwise we'll say, I'm this body, but no, there's beyond, there's a greater thing, how this is working. So just touching that, touching the anamoya purusha, they feel that spiritual aspect. You understand? But unless you can understand what it is, you're just on the bodily conception of life. Right? Yes.
The fact that God has a body that's shaped like a human being, there's always a part of me that says, wow, this is really anthropomorphism, like brought out to its largest degree, you know. There's a fear, a little bit of a fear, like he looks like us,
you know? But how does it work? Who's first?
He's first.
So that means he's first, so technically we look like him. But because we don't know what he looks like, then we say he has a human form. So we're starting from our position and then going to that. Just like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of someone who doesn't know what the moon is. So you relate the moon to something that they can relate to. Right? They don't know what the moon is. Then you point out on the horizon, see that tree? And they note what a tree is, so they can relate to the tree. Then seeing the tree, then it goes, okay, up there on that left side, upper corner, there's that round white ball. That's the moon. So it's not about the tree. It's about the moon. So when we say about human form, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. But we can relate to the human form, therefore we can relate back into him. So then we understand he has senses, he has relationships, he has interaction, he has activities. But it's actually, it starts with him. So we're, you know, made that way. You know, therefore it said we're made in the image of God, right? Not that he's made. But because we only know this, then if someone says that, then we take from our position, so it must mean that way. Because that's just where we're, our point of reference. Does that make sense? So in psychology, there's terms for that. You know, it's just that you see everything from your point of vision, like that. And so that's where we'll start with. So it's natural, but what one understands is, no, it's a reflection, so it's going the other way. So therefore, his form is perfect. Ours being a reflection, that may not be so perfect. You know, so depending upon how nicely one follows the scriptures in that, the reflection will be a little bit better. And if one doesn't follow so nicely, then the mirror is agitated. You know, like if you have a still pond, then the reflection of the tree is quite good. Still, it's lacking. It doesn't have the texture, the smell, the usage, or taste, or anything like that. But it looks good, you know. But if you agitate the water, it becomes not as nice. So the less we follow the Vedic principles, the more the water is agitated, means the more the consciousness, therefore the reflection is not as nice. So we don't get as good. So we can understand is that he being the original must be good. Right? Plus you have the original points. It has all actual, substance to it. Right? Is that okay? So one doesn't have to be in anxiety. Okay, so you understand? So then like this, then he is the process of logic. He is the process of thinking. Right? But of that thinking, you should come to Siddhanta. Right? So then that means then you're based on scriptures, then you do everything. So he is that form of scripture, of proper thinking, of things like that. So that would be what you call anvikshiki. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Lord Vishnu said, why am I not all the other purushas such as anamaya purusha as well? Shrutis, you are inherently connected with these other coverings like anamaya, in that you are the cause, avisesham ritam, and anamaya, and the other purushas are effects. So he's the cause, and anamaya and these other four are effects. So he is them, but he's not them. But the anandamaya purush, you say, he is. Right? That's the point, is there is no cause. That's just him. Thus, as the cause of everything, you are in one sense identical with the manifest products of creation, but in the original form, Sarup, as the Anandamaya Purush, Supersoul, you remain distinct. Furthermore, among all these, you are the ultimate essence, Avesesham. Right, so he's a Supersoul, he's above all these, but at the same time, he's still beyond that as a personality. Right, so that's the uniqueness of the Anandamaya. So you can get to that platform by just understanding Paramatma. You get to that first stage. But then going beyond that, that's where the rasa actually starts, the dynamic rasa. Does that make sense? So you could get up to this point appreciating the Lord and get up to Shanta Rasa, even within the devotional. But you see it's based on Paramatma, that he's the Supreme Lord, how he's pervading everything and all this. And then they'll appreciate the uniqueness, the pastimes, all the different things like that. So depending upon that, there'll be different levels of personality. Right? So the highest level appreciates the greatest range. So, you know, like Narad Muni, you could say of those in Shanta Ras, he's the perfect devotee, because he appreciates all the other rasas and can and deal with them and everything like that. While others, then they deal on the less. You see, the four Kumaras, they appreciate the Lord, but they stay tapaloka, they do their meditation, so it's not as dynamic. So. Thus, Sri Krishna is distinct and transcendental to all the gross and subtle manifestations of Anamaya, and so on. Sardartha Darshini, 1087-17. Right? So he is, but at the same time he's beyond. That's the... Is that we're clear on this? Okay. Shamshaya. So Vishaya, okay, Vishaya is the point being made. Okay. And then Shamshaya will be the doubt. Okay. So this is the Vedanta Sutra terminology.
Yeah.
Okay. So Vishaya Shamshaya.
Okay.
Purvapaksha Siddhanta. Okay. Shamshaya. Is the Anandamaya Purush a Jiva or the Supreme Lord? Right? Because the point is that the Jiva becomes, then that asks, because otherwise, see, it's just another angle to try to get at it. We've done it from there, so now we're dealing with these levels of consciousness. So is the Anandamaya Purusha Jiva? We've already established that Brahman is the Lord, not the Jiva. Okay, what about the Anandamaya Purusha? Right? He's just not giving up, these guys. They're attached. Right? Purvapaksha. It refers to the Jiva, right? This is their reasoning. Because it is described as an embodied self, sharira atma. This purusha is related to a material body. So they're saying is that, what they're trying to establish, that they themselves are the Anandamaya Purush, because they're on the level of Anandamaya by their realization of their impersonal philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? Your Brahmavadis won't have this problem. These will be Mayavadis. Right? Because they make the distinction. For a Brahmavadi, it's all Brahman anyway. So it doesn't matter. The Lord has a form, doesn't have a form. You know, whatever is there, it's all Him. So they're just seeing the element of Brahman. Right? So this Brahmapucham, that means all these five aspects are Brahman. So they don't make a distinction. The Mayavadis do. So that's the problem. That's why they're called Maya bodies, not Brahma bodies, right? Because their philosophy is Maya. While the Brahma bodies, their philosophy is Brahman. Yes?
It's also funny because they do say that he has material body.
Yes.
They bring this up as
Maya. Yes. That's what the point is. They say the Supreme, you know, what we call the Supreme, what the Shastra is talking about, is the material form, because he's beyond, you can't describe him. They're describing that you can't describe him, but that's describable. So, you know, that's the point. It's just they get into, means they use their intelligence up to a point, and then after that, it's all about their desire. Because it sounds good, that's what they want, so at that point they don't apply logic. You know, they apply logic to get there, but once they're there, they don't apply. So that's the problem, is that it's incomplete, and so you can't complete it for them. Because at the point where they should continue, right, they get to a good point, but where they should continue, then they don't. So because it's not complete, therefore they have to apply all these things that would be beyond on a lower level. You know, you're trying to make something out of, you know, it's just like you have one preparation and you try to make a three-course meal out of it. How do you do that? You know, eat from this side, then turn the plate, then eat from the other side. Then, you're saying it's not complete. You can make a ritual out of it and all that. And, you know, they put down the bowl of khichdi. Wow, you're starting from the wrong side. You know, like that. Yeah. Siddhanta, Anandamaya Abhyasat. Anandamaya Purusha is the Lord because of repetition at the beginning and at the end. Right? So it's mentioned that He is the Supreme. So what they're talking about in the middle, we may mistake that for the Jiva, but then again, very clearly in the beginning and end, they say, no, it's the Lord. Right? So they'll take that middle part because they like that part. They don't like the beginning and the end. The Anandamaya Purusha is the Supreme Brahman. Why? Because of repetition, abhyasat. After the section previously quoted, the following is found. Asan eva sambhavati, asad brahmeti veda chet, asti brahmeti chet veda, santam enam tato viduhu. If one knows that Brahman to be non-existent, he becomes non-existent. If one knows the Brahman to be existent, that person we know to exist. Taittiriya Upanishad 6.1. Right, so you take on that quality. If you think he's impersonal, you become impersonal. If you understand he's a person, you become, a transcendental person. So in other case, he's transcendental. It's just what aspect of him you understand. You understand Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, that's the nature you'll take on. Does that make sense? The word Brahman is repeated because of that repetition, abhyasat. The Anandamaya Purusha is Brahman, the Lord, not the Jiva. Abhyasa means to repeat without modification. Right? It also means, abhyasa also is practice. Because that's the point we were saying before. Just practice. You just keep practicing. That's how you get somewhere. So the process is practice, repetition. So, we have to create all different things and create all the different flavors. And then is it about the repetition? Is it manamoy? If it's about, no, can you change it like this? That's about anamoy. That's the whole point. So by repetition, that's how you get good at it. So does that make sense? So the Vedic system, it has repetition of so many things, but it has a wide variety of things. Because when I say, that there's so many things happening in the Vedic culture, why can't we keep it simple? It's because if you don't create it through the form that's given in the Shastra of all the various things to do, where will you find your repetition? I mean, one, where will you get your repetition, but where will you get your variety? So because there's so many things, you're getting your variety, but in constant repetition, so you become good at it. And if you don't, then you will find that variety somewhere else. And then it won't be repeated, so therefore you'll never become good at it. Does that make sense? So that's the point of sadhana. So many things are happening in the sadhana. Right? But, so then you become good. But if you don't follow it, you make up your own, then you don't become so good at it. Okay, abhyasa means to repeat without modification. You just keep doing the same thing. Then the modification will naturally come. That's what we're meaning. This repetition of the word is found in that concluding verse. It does not... This is still Siddhanta, right? It hasn't changed. It does not refer to Brahman in the Brahmapucha in the section quoted above. There are four verses mentioning the Anandamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, Vijnanamaya, Purushas, Jiva. After that, there is one verse After that, there's one verse concerning the Anandamaya Purush, who is superior to those. Right? So basically what it's talking about is the level of consciousness of the jiva. Then there's the transcendental Lord. So then if you connect yourself with the transcendental Lord, then you take on that quality of relationship with the Lord. Right? You just see him as nothing, then you'll take on that quality also. You'll come to the Anandamaya platform, but you'll be merged in the impersonal Brahman. But you see him as a person, then you'll take on that quality and also be a person who can therefore have interaction with the Lord. So, yeah. Atma is the support of the Anandamaya Purush. Earth is the support. Atma is the support of the Anamaya Purush. Earth is the support for the Pranamaya Purush. Atarvangirash is the support for the Manamaya Purush. I think Angira is who became perfect with the Atarva Veda, but that means Atarva, because before as the Veda, it's one body of knowledge. It's called the Atarva. So in other words, approaching the Lord through the Veda, understanding the Veda. Like the earth is the support. Like nowadays, it's all about ecology and eco and what do you call it, organic and all these different things. So it's all about the earth. That's pranamaya. So, yeah. So atma here is just you're supporting that you stay alive. That's yourself. But when you extend it to others, then that's sort of like that. Brahman is the support for the... Oh, no, I missed one. Intellect, mahas, is the support for the vijnanamaya purusha, right? So you have to use your intelligence to actually understand that platform, right? Because we see the earth, then it can just be that element just extended of, you know, just you're alive and just that, so the sentiment can work, right? Then you get into actual proper use of the mind in a theistic way. So pranamaya is use of the mind in an atheistic way. Manamoy is use of the mind in a theistic way. Does that make sense? Then you get to the point of intelligence. Brahman is the support from the Anandamaya Purush, which occurs last. There's no repetition of the word Brahma, Brahman, in this instance. Brahman is mentioned only as the support of the Anandamaya Purush. Each past, so do we see how these is? Anandamaya means it has to be about the Lord. These other levels, it could either be seeing it connected to the Lord or not. So in other words, the jiva could be in material consciousness and just go through dharma, artha, kama, moksha and just keep going around and around. Or he could be applying it to understanding Brahman and by this take himself up to the Anandamaya platform. Does that make sense? Each passage is followed by a verse referring to the whole of that Purusha. Thus, the whole of the Anandamaya Purusha is the Brahman and not just the support. Right? Because he mentions what's the support and then he mentions the whole. Okay, footnote 3. Here, Baladeva Vibhushan is referring to Taittiriya Upanishad verse 2.5 quoted above, which states that, quote, Brahman is situated as the basis of the Anandamaya Purusha. Brahma pucham pratishta. Shankara argues in his Sharirika Bhashya that the word Anandamaya does not refer to the Supreme Brahman, and that only the word Brahma pucham refers to Brahman. The reason he gives is that the Anandamaya would only refer to the Savishesha Brahman, and never to the Nirvisesha Brahman, which is called Ananda itself and Anandamaya. Right, because there's no experience. So why go there? If you can't experience the Brahman, why? What's the point? He insists that the word Anandamaya does not refer to Brahman because the word Maya means transformation. In this view, transformation of bliss cannot refer to the Supreme Brahman, for Brahman is naturally full of bliss and not a transformation of some pre-existing state of happiness. For this reason, according to Shankara, the word Anandamaya must refer to the individual spirit soul and not Brahman. Srila Vyasadeva refutes this argument in the next sutra. Right? So You see what they're trying to do here is they're always trying to bring it back to if there's any transformation, but they don't understand that on the transcendental platform that his happiness, why is it happy? Is that just he's experiencing the existence? That's what he's saying. They only see him as nothing. They can only experience the happiness of existence. That's all the more they can get. And so that happiness is, you know, how you say, like an ocean compared to a drop of what happiness you can get in the material world. Right? But because it is personal, therefore the transformations that are there within the rasa tasted between the Lord and the devotees, that brings it to the point where it's like an unlimited ocean, while this is only a drop. Or a fraction of a portion of a drop, as Rupa Goswami says. He doesn't even give it the drop status. Right? So that's the difference, is they don't understand what transformation means. So they only think just it's the exact same all the time. It will be nice compared to the material world, but that's just a state of existence. So after a while, the living entities that are absorbed in that, what's it? Kala? What is it? What's that realm there?
Mahakala.
Mahakala Pura. Is that they get bored after a while. So then Lord Shiva, who's there, you know, Sada Shiva, then he sends them back into the material world. Because it'll get boring. Right? You have to do something. That's why we're here. We wanted to do something and it wasn't in connection to Krishna, so therefore we're here. You want to do something in connection with Krishna, then you can be there. So, that work? Yeah. Where? Okay. This description will be further discussed in 3.3.13. Shamshaya. So now is the doubt. Yeah. Since the Anandamaya Purusha is described in a series of Purushas, such as the Anandamaya Purusha referring to Jivas, who are filled with misery, the Anandamaya Purusha as Brahman does not have a superior position. Because he's just saying, you're talking about the Lord, it must be all the same, because that's the Jiva, then it all must be the Jiva. Right? That's their... You see the logic? Yeah. So that's the... Not impressed with their luck. Yes. You know, what we can see is they have they're using their intelligence because they're situated basically on that Vijnanamaya platform. So the basis is intelligence. But the point is their intelligence is stolen by Maya, so they can't actually understand what's beyond. Because intelligence will only give you that understanding. You can tell the difference between matter and spirit, but you can't actually tell what's the full nature of spirit. You can only tell that it exists, that there's knowledge. Okay. And then this point is us, or this is there further? There's no fault if Brahman is mentioned?
It should be part of theirs.
You sure?
I'm not sure.
No, because it goes back to Shamshaya here, so this must be us. There's no fault if Brahman is mentioned, so that it should mention to him, then he should use here, say that there's an uttara. So it's very clear in these things. Because sometimes it's so fine because we use the same language and we make actually the same points. It's just that when you come out the end that they're off somewhere in Jersey or something and they didn't make it across to New York, you know? Like that. You know? Yeah. There's no fault of Brahman is mentioned with the Jiva since Brahman is within everything. This is a method of teaching the ignorant so they can easily understand. The Veda, the supreme benefactor, begins teaching a person desiring to know the Atma by pointing out what is not Brahman and finally showing what is Brahman. In the matter of showing the small star, Arundhati, by first showing the big star near it. Right? So that's the idea. So, you know, it means the same point we made before about showing the moon with the tree. That's another example. But Arundhati is with the seven sages, so she's also there. Because that's... One that she's next to, that's Vishishta. You know, does that make sense? So you have the Dhruva Loka, then you have the seven sages, and with one of them is Arundhati. But you won't catch Arundhati on her own. Right? You'll see it from the seven sages. Okay. Okay. So, therefore, you're showing the levels of consciousness that the jiva has until they get to the actual transcendental. That's because they don't have any other means to understand it. So you're trying to find that means by which they can relate. You're trying to explain that which is beyond understanding. Right? You can use words, but those words, when they're empowered by the chit potency, then they're able to explain. But you have to be able to accept it. Right? You have a nice meal, but unless someone eats it, they don't get the benefit. So the same way is that you, therefore, by showing the one, then you can bring them to the other. Because they can relate to themselves. And then you relate to themselves on these levels till they get to the point of Anandamaya. Right? Because at that point, then you're going to be dealing with the Lord and coming back this way. Before that, you're going to be dealing with our conditioning, connecting to the Lord. You understand? So someone who's spiritual will be starting with themselves and connecting it to the Lord. Right? So therefore, they'll be using the process of, yes.
From Vijnanamoya,
yes. They'll be using, you know, like what Gita's mentioning, karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana, buddhi yoga. You're starting with yourself, but connecting it to the Supreme. But you eventually have to get to sarvadharmam parityaja, where it's about the Supreme and our connection with Him. Right? Not how the Supreme's connected with us, but how we're connected to the Supreme. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, samshaya, so the doubt again. If that is the case here, then what is the main subject elsewhere? Brahman or something else? Right, because you've done four of them were about the jiva and only one was about Brahman. So if you're saying this is the case, then all the other subject matters that are discussed, is it Brahman or is it the jiva? Right? You know, but they're saying that it's all the jiva, so what's the problem if some of it's Brahman, since they're into Brahman? So they should think, oh great, I saw it all as jiva, but I'm actually, you know, into Brahman, so here the Vaishnava showed me how at least one point of it I can get the Brahman out of it, so it's a step up. But no, they get bewildered. Okay, so then this would be Uttara again, huh? Brahman is the principal subject taught elsewhere also. In the next chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, Varuna teaches Brahman, the cause of the universe, to his son who is desirous to know Brahman. And that's where the Shikshavali, where this is, no, this is Anandavali. This is what was being quoted here, the second Vali. So, because this is we're discussing 2.5. So that will mention the koshas. But then in the third volley, that's all about the whole thing's about these five koshas. That's the whole discussion.
This one the boys are chanting?
Yes, generally chanting that. They do know the other ones, but that one they know the best. You know, it's the point at which you can actually kind of understand it. Yeah. Okay, Varuna teaches Brahman. To his son, who is desirous of to know Brahman. Varuna then explains that food, prana, mind, and intellect, vijnana, are all Brahman for his son's understanding. Right. So he's showing it that all these things that the jivas in these four levels of consciousness, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, is just going through, those same levels of consciousness, seeing them in connection with the Lord, you'll elevate yourself to Anandamaya. But if you don't see it in connection with the Lord, you'll just keep going through these four. So that's the thing, is they're parallel to each other. The only difference is consciousness. That's why we say you don't have to change what you're doing. You change the consciousness. Right? So now, who will be interested in Brahman? Right? Someone who's interested in Brahman will be someone who is already on the platform of Manamoya. So they're following the Vedic system. So if you're following the Vedic system, what's to change? You're already doing what's recommended. Right? Does that make sense? But the prince, does that make sense? So therefore, you change the consciousness, then you see this whole stage of these four stages that connect with the jiva, connected with the transcendence. Right? So then you can elevate yourself out. Okay, finally he concludes by showing that the Anandamaya Purusha is Brahman. This section concludes by stating that his knowledge is based on Brahman. Parame Vyoman Pratishta. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Sharanitai Gaurakrinoda ki.